Revelation chapter 18. Thank you for coming out tonight. And for those who are joining from home, we pray again that you will be encouraged as we spend time around the Word of God. We have been in the book of Revelation now right from the commencement of our studies this season. I was going to say this winter. We're now past winter. And this is our 23rd study. And this will be the final one this evening. Next month, Joshua was going to be speaking for the month of Wednesday nights, and then from June onwards, different brethren in the assembly will be speaking at the prayer meeting as we move through the summer. And in the will of the Lord, we'll get back to chapter 19 and on to the rest of the book when we come back again and start our winter session again. We're going to get to heaven then, and it's good to get to heaven and see. And we're going to read this chapter this evening, beginning at verse number 1. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. And the cup which she has filled, fill it, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she said in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones, of pearls, and fine linen, and purple, and silk, and scarlet, and all fine wood, and all manner vessels of ivory, and all manner vessels of most precious wood, and of brass, and iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and beasts, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee. Thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors, and as many as trade by the sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto that great city? They cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, wherein was made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And the mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of the harpers and musicians and all pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of the millstone that shall be heard no more in thee at all in thee. And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were great men of the earth, for by sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. And we do trust that God will bless the public reading of his own precious and fallible and inerrant and inspired word. I had lunch with a well-known pastor this afternoon, my younger brother, and we were talking about Revelation 18. He said, I think it's the most difficult chapter in all of Revelation. And so that's what Kenny thinks of Revelation chapter 18. So if I struggle a bit this evening, well then I'm in very good company indeed. We looked at chapter 17 the last time we opened the book of the Revelation, and we have no doubt, and indeed most commentators and most preachers are of the same opinion, that Revelation 17 is Mystery Babylon. It's that one world religion that will come together under the Antichrist. And as we get near the end times, as we get near the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shouldn't be surprised when we see people running to Rome to meet the Pope. We shouldn't be surprised when they bow to him and kiss his hand and talk about him being a follower of Jesus Christ. It shouldn't surprise us anymore when we see things like that on our television screens. These are things that are to be expected. And as we move together to that great ecumenical church, remember, we will be gone because Jesus Christ is coming first to take us home. And we saw something of the history of it and the destruction of it in Revelation chapter 17. It was Mystery Babylon. When we come to chapter 18, are we seeing the other side of the same coin? Or is it two separate and distinct judgments? And that really is where the first division comes into tonight. Is it just the commercial side of this evil apostate system? And there's no doubt the Church of Rome has lots of wealth. I read somewhere where it's just incalculable. The arts and the treasures and the property and all the assets they have, there's just no way it really can be counted. And there's no doubt they have a lot of commercial interest indeed. And when you compare the two chapters, there's much to commend the two judgments being the same. If you look at verse number 4 in chapter 17, the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Look at Revelation 18:16, and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. You can see the similarity there. Same stains. Look at Revelation 17 verse 6. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Look at Revelation 18 verse 24. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. And there are many similarities. And of course, being similar doesn't mean it's the same thing. Also, there's debate over whether this is going to be a literal Babylon city that will be built. Some suggest that John was speaking about Rome, and for fear of the Roman authorities knowing what he was talking about, he changed the word to Babylon. But that would say to us that the Holy Spirit acted out of fear. Second, Zechariah 5 verses 5 to 11 do talk about a Babylon being rebuilt in a day yet to come. I believe that chapter 18 is a distinct judgment. I believe it's another judgment. It's a judgment dealing with Antichrist's commercial capital. And I believe that Babylon as a city will be rebuilt and will become the commercial capital of the world. Let me give you some reasons why I believe that this evening. Now, I'm not being dogmatic, because I understand many of the arguments both ways. But I have to do this before we get into the verses this evening. Chapter 17 talks about Mystery Babylon. Chapter 18, there's no mention of mystery. And again, that would indicate there are two different situations. You do read about these places being called a great city. Revelation 18 verse 10, a great city. Revelation 18:16, a great city. Revelation 18:18 and 19, a great city. Revelation 18 verse 21, a great city. It's called a great city over and over and over again, indicating that what we have is a literal city called Babylon that will be rebuilt. Notice what it says in chapter 18, verse 10. Because it talks on a number of occasions about people standing, watching this city being destroyed. Unlikely this would be used if it was something that was a mystery. Look at 18, verse 10. Standing afar off for fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come." Notice how the judgments are carried out. If you look at chapter 17, verse 16, you'll see that it's the kings who carry out the judgment on mystery Babylon. And the 10 horns which I sawest upon the beast shall hit the whore, that's mystery Babylon, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. If you look at Revelation 18, verse 8, this is a direct judgment from God. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Just one other thing before I finish this evening. I don't want to spend much time on it tonight. If you look at chapter 17, verse 16, it gives you the relationship between the kings and this great whore of Babylon. Look what it says in Revelation 17, verse 16. And the 10 horns which I sawest upon the beast shall hit the whore. And you can see there's a hatred from these kings for this mystery Babylon. As I said, Antichrist will use religion until he gets to the point where he needs it no more. And he will deal with this one world church. He'll destroy it. And he will set himself up as God and be worshipped as God in the temple. And you can see that him and his followers will hate the whore. Look at the reaction of the kings to the judgment of commercial Babylon in Revelation 18, verse 9. And the kings of the earth, who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, shall bewail her and lament for her, not to see him. Chapter 17, they hated her. Here, there's lamenting for her. Again, I believe this is indicating that we're looking at two separate and distinct judgments tonight. The judgment on religious Babylon, chapter 17. The judgment on commercial Babylon, Revelation chapter 18. I also believe that the judgment on religious Babylon will take place at the midpoint of the tribulation period, whereas the judgment upon commercial Babylon, according to the end of Revelation chapter 16, is one of the final vials on the end of the tribulation period. I don't want to spend a lot of time in that this evening before we get to these verses, but just to set out tonight, I believe what we have in chapter 18 is a judgment upon a Babylon that will be built. This Babylon will be Antichrist's commercial capital of the world. It will replace London. It will replace Paris, Tokyo. I don't know what way the Russians will be then, but this is going to be the capital, the commercial capital of the world. Now, let's look at these verses and see what's going to happen, Antichrist's commercial empire. Look first of all at the desolation tonight in verse number 1. Notice the angel. And after these things, again, that indicates that what has happened in chapter 17 is different than what's coming in chapter 18. After these things, I believe, indeed, it's about 3 years after these things. Here it talks about another angel, another one different than what we have in chapter 17. Again, showing us, I believe, that these are two distinct judgments. But this angel comes with the authority of God. He comes right down from heaven, divinely commissioned and directly delegated by God. Notice the effect he has. He lights up the earth, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Some suggest that this is Christ, but Christ would never be called another angel. This is an angel that's been in the presence of the Lord. And when you spend time in the presence of the Lord, I'll tell you, there's a glow about you. I'm not talking about anything mysterious here. But I can often tell people who spend time with the Lord, there's just something about them. Remember Moses? Do you remember when Moses spent time with the Lord? It says that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them. And you can tell when somebody spends time with the Lord, there's just something about them. I would say there's a spiritual glow about them. And I say, I'm not being melodramatic this evening. You can tell the men, the women, the young people who spend time in the Word of God and who spend time in prayer. And let me say this very simply. If you spend time in the presence of the Lord, people will know it. People will know it. You see the angel. Then you see the announcement in verse 2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, is fallen. Again, the double could be to emphasize the severity of it. Or again, it's talking about the two Babylons. And how the two of them are going to be judged. Here, the commercial capital of Antichrist's kingdom is a center to be admired. No doubt it will have all the modern technology, whatever is in then, they will have it. It will have reached the goal of self-satisfaction, self-glorification. And here the Lord's pulling back the curtain and giving us a view what's really behind it. You see the angel and the announcement, but look at how it's described in verse 2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, and has become the habitation of demons, and every foul spirit. And it talks about the hold. That word hold speaks about a prison. This is a commercial empire energized by hell, if I can put it like that this evening. It may have a beautiful outward appearance, but it's being energized by hell. This city will represent everything the world craves after, every lust, every desire it will help to fulfill. It's the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. When unclean birds were found in an area in the Old Testament, it usually spoke of desolation and abandonment. Isaiah 50 verse 39. Therefore the wild beast of the desert and the wild beast of the island shall dwell there, and the owl shall dwell, the remnant shall be no more inhabited forever, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. It talks about them being unclean, and it uses the word hateful. J.N. Darby translated the word hateful by the word hated. And he says this is something hated by God. God hates anything that's unclean. If there's sin in our lives, God hates it. And sometimes I have to deal with believers who have fallen and there's sin in their lives, and I'll always deal with them graciously. I'll always try to help them. But they must see that the sin that they have is hated by God. And it has to be repented of before that person can move forward. God hates sin. You can see not only the angel and the announcement, but you can see the accomplices in verse number 3. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And it mentions a number of groups here. It talks about all the nations, the kings of the earth and the merchants of the earth. Babylon will seduce the whole world. The regenerate people of the world will lust for Babylon, passionately desiring to commit acts of spiritual immorality. The merchants of the earth will become rich by her sensuality, and the world's going to cash in on Babylon's success. They will throw off any semblance of self-control or self-restraint. Sinners will indulge in a wild materialistic orgy. You see all the nations and the kings of the earth, and it talks about the merchants of the earth. That word merchant is the English word emporium, and it's talking about the buyers of the world, the magnates of the world, the rich men of the world, the men who control the financial world. And these are, we'll see more about them later on, but these are all in bed, if you like, with this commercial capital of the world that Antichrist will be running. Babylon is thriving, the world's happy about it, and the merchants are coining, if I can use that phrase. You see not only the desolation, but you see the separation called for. Look at verse number 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues. True believers who have not received the mark of the beast may have been in this city, and God says that's a dangerous place for you to be. You're in the wrong place, you're in the wrong company, and God says to them, come out. And you know that the doctrine of separation is taught right throughout Scripture. It's not a very popular one today. Abraham was told in Genesis 12 verse 1, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. Remember, Lot was told in Sodom, up, get you out of this place. Israel was told regarding Babylon in the Old Testament, Isaiah 48:20, go ye forth of Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldeans. Believers are told in the New Testament, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive. This is God's message the whole way through the Bible. Come out, come out, come out. 2 Timothy 3, verse 5, speaking again about some of the religions that will be about in the latter days, having a form of godliness to use all the language, but denying the power thereof, no power to change their life. You know what it's like today. People will make a profession of salvation and there's no change. They can go to the same places, they can do the same things. It's just to now do it as Christians. They can still have their drink. They can still do whatever they do. They can indulge in whatever they want to indulge in. And they have a loose church connection. And they have a profession of faith. Here's what the Lord says, from such turn away. The true child of God will want nothing to do with them. From such turn away. It amazes me how some people can leave evangelical churches, conservative churches, and where they end up worshipping. I really scratch my head at times. It's so difficult to see what they really believe and where's their real conviction. And separation is taught not only in religious circles, but in the general sense, when there's sin out there and ungodliness. James 4 verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You see the desolation here. You see the separation. And then you see the condemnation. We're looking at this industrial, commercial, capital of Antichrist's kingdom. And God's warning any believers, tribulation saints, get out of it. Have nothing to do with it. And then you see the condemnation. Look at verse 5. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. You remember the Tower of Babel. You'll remember in Genesis 11 verse 4. And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. Well, here is a tower that has reached unto heaven, and it's a tower of sin. Their sins have reached unto heaven. It's just like their sins have been piling up and piling up and piling up, and then it says, God hath remembered her iniquities. They probably thought there was no God. They probably felt there is no God and nothing to worry about, or else they thought somehow God won't mind. But their sins came to a point where God's going to step in. Isn't it good to be saved tonight? Because you know what the Lord says about our sins? He says, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. God remembered her sins. They've reached heaven, and God's going to deal with them. You see the piling of them. You see the pride here. Look at verse 6 and 7. We'll do this quickly. Reward her even as she rewarded you. Double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she said in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Verse 6 tells us she's got what's coming to her. This is something she deserves. God is going to judge this commercial capital of Antichrist. Her sins have reached to heaven, and the angel is crying out to give her what she deserves. She has glorified herself. She has lived deliciously or sensuously, it could be translated. Babylon of old in Isaiah 47 verse 7 said, I shall be a lady forever. And she too was saw herself as a queen and untouchable. And this is how this capital of the world believes. She's stinking with pride. She thinks she can survive anything as she sits proudly as the commercial capital of the world. Who can challenge her? Who dare try and challenge such a mighty, mighty metropolis? You see her pride? Then you see her punishment in verse 8. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judged her. Notice the timing in one day. Death and mourning and famine and fire. And here is a financial collapse in one day. It's a lesson for you and I never to trust in uncertain riches. It's a lesson for us to make sure we lay up treasure in heaven. As you know, I'm dealing with the family on the Sunday morning, home helps, and I was just thinking of what I'm going to speak, not this week, but next week. And I was thinking, you know, there's something that you and I, her parents, can take to heaven with us. And that's our children. That's our children. And that's a treasure you can lay up in heaven by instilling the gospel into them. Instilling the things of God into them. And what a priority for parents it should be to see their children saved. That should be their number one priority. Thank God for education and all the things in the world that you want them to have so many opportunities. But salvation has to be number one. Has to be number one. You see her pride. You see her punishment. And one day, this is going to go up in smoke. You see the desolation, the separation, and the condemnation. God just turns the whole thing around. And we've seen that before. I remember when the last financial crisis came, I preached on this on quite a number of places, on the greatest financial crisis that the world will ever see. Look at the lamentation here, fourthly, this evening. Look at verse 9 and 10. We're meeting some of these groups again. First of all, the monarchs. How will they react? And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her, and they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. The kings of the earth will hardly believe as this goes up in smoke. They thought it was invincible. The words alas, alas, again shows the double. They're just absolutely cannot take this in. Wolford writes, how sad is the hour of judgment when it is too late for mercy. They stand afar in fear because they're afraid of being a part of it. But very shortly there'll be no escape for them. For they'll be gathered together with their armies in Palestine against the Lord who will slay them at Armageddon, Revelation 19, verse number 13. Notice it's now just 1 hour. It was one day and now it's just an hour. Just like that. God's just going to turn the whole thing around. We have seen this foreshadow. We have seen how events can happen. I remember after 9/11, the markets just collapsed. Just collapsed. God can turn the whole thing around just in an hour. We need to make sure we're not trusting an uncertain riches. You see the monarchs, and then you see the merchants, verse 11 to 14. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise evermore. The shops are gone. They may have something to sell, but they've nobody to buy it. And the markets have just collapsed, and you can see all of these items. You can see the jewelry items, the precious stones and the costly metals. You can see the clothing, the fine fabrics used in their clothing. Verse 13 again, composed of linen and silk, and luxurious colors of purple and scarlet. These were were extremely expensive garments, and you can see the jewelry items in the clothing stores, the luxurious furnishings again in verse 12, the furniture made of thionine. This is a costly and scented wood, similar to cypress or cedar, and used in expensive furniture. And you can see ivory and brass and iron and marble. Then we get into verse 13. You have the perfumes and the spices, cinnamon and spice and incense, perfume and frankincense. And then you have the foodstuffs, the wine, the oil, the fine flour, the wheat, the cattle and the sheep. Then you have the transportation, the horses, the chariots. These would be similar to our transportation today. And then you have the slaves. It talks about the souls of men. It's really just the manpower market. They've got everything in their hands, and all of a sudden it's all falling apart. The greatest financial crisis the world has ever seen. Look at verse 14. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things that were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. Their gods are gone. Everything they lived for, everything they worshipped, everything they wanted is gone. It's up in smoke. Verse 15, the merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for fear of tremendous weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, the great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour so great riches have come to naught. Can you imagine the pension funds just worth nothing? People who had money in the bank, that was their security, it's gone. Everything they depended on, everything they trusted, everything they looked to, everything they loved, it's just gone. It's just gone. It's just turned in an hour. You see the monarchs, you see the merchants, then you see the mariners, verse 17 to 19. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. And then we get on to the shipping companies. Every shipmaster, that's the ship owners and the company in ships, that's the passengers and the sailors, that's the workers, those who trade by sea. They stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, for that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness or her wealth. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. Babylon has been in control of the world's transport system, and now men will be at a loss. Who can we turn to? In 1 hour, God turned the whole thing upside down. Just 1 hour, that's all it took. Then you see the jubilation tonight. While the world mourns, heaven is ordered to rejoice. Look at verse 20. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. God is right. This is a judgment from God. And the judge of all the earth will always do what is right. And then you see the judgment revealed in verse 21. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. This is like an illustration of how God is going to wipe it out, like dropping a millstone into the sea. It's going to be sudden. Like a stone when it falls, there's just a splash. It's going to be violent and catastrophic, like a meteor causing tidal waves which move across the land, destroying everything in its path. This is the picture that God is giving us. It's going to be complete, like a stone which is cast into the sea and sinks out of all sight. So the destruction of Babylon will be so complete that it'll be found no more, never to rise again. And that's what the Old Testament prophets have told us about Babylon, Jeremiah 51, verses 61 to 64. You see the judgment is right. You see what's revealed. You see what's removed here as well. Verse 22. and the voice of the harpers and musicians and of the pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all. And no more entertainment, no more music. The commercial and business world often look for escapism and music and rock and all sorts of things in the nightclubs and the bars and the lounges, but they're all gone. No X factor in this Babylon. It's gone. No entertainment. It's gone. The craftsmen are gone. No craftsmen of whatsoever craft shall be found any more in thee. The tools of the craftsmen who furnish these luxurious items will be silent as a tomb. The wheels of industry and the pens of the writers will all come to a halt. The sound of the millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. No more grinding of grain. The preparation of the flour will stop. The food supply, which already is in short supply because of the tribulation, will now disappear altogether. The greatest financial crisis the world will ever experience is coming to this world. Verse 23, and the light of the candle shall no more at all, shall shine no more at all, nay, the lights will go out. I don't know whether this means that the energy supply will be gone or just symbolically, spiritually, there'll be no light, it'll just be total darkness. But the lights are going to go out. Babylon's just going to come to a halt as God steps in to this commercial capital that Antichrist has put so much into. Look again at verse 23. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. The merry voice of the bride and the bridegroom and their wedding parties will cease. No more romance in Babylon. No more wedding parties, no more stag do's, no hen parties. It's all gone. Nobody's going to even think about getting married in a situation like that. Do you see the repeat of the words? No more, no more, no more. Babylon will be gone for good. And so many people will have put so much into it and will be left standing and weeping as God lights the match and puts it up in smoke. You see the reasons as well tonight. Verse 23. And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee. The voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of the prophets, of the saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth. Look at her praying. The merchants of the earth were great men. Some of the richest men in the world. A lot of chat about Elon Musk, who's just bought Twitter for $44 billion. He describes himself as being agnostic. There might be a God, there might not be a God. Some of the things he does may be okay, but when it comes to God, he's flexible, I think the word is used. Bill Gates, another wealthy man in the world, his wife is a Roman Catholic, but again, he's described as being flexible. Cannot see where there's a creator. Just cannot fathom such a thing. Science, as far as he's concerned, and God cannot be equated. And so many of the great men of the world have little or no time for God. And these are some of the great men who've been held up and in many senses worshipped, and people have wanted to be like them. Well, these great men are going to be dealt with here by God. I'm not suggesting these two particular individuals. I'm just using them by way of illustration this evening. You see the pride, these magnets would be the way you could translate the word. Look at her power. By thy sorceries were all nations deceived. That word sorceries has two meanings. It's the Greek word pharmakeia. We've come upon it before. And when I say pharmakeia, you'll think of pharmacy. So drugs are involved. And so drugs will be rampant in this commercial capital, Babylon. And I'm sure in many of the great cities of the world, the drug trade is rampant. But of course, it also brings us into the area of the occult. And there's no doubt the occult will be very active during the tribulation. We discovered that from Revelation chapter 9. And through occultish practices, drug practices, and indeed the combination of both, the world will be deceived by her. You see her pride, you see her power, you see her persecution. Again, no time for God. And then there was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and all that were slain upon the earth. It's becoming difficult now to take your stand for Jesus Christ. I was speaking to a young pastor who's just taken up a pastorate in a church. He had a high position in the housing executive. He tweeted something and he was reported for having tweeted it. And they tried to get him fired. He had a letter from one of our MLAs, Jim Allister. And when he set the letter on the table, they started to shake. And his supervisor said to him, I was speaking to him the other day, if you hadn't had the letter from Jim Allister, you were getting fired. You were getting fired. And we're already seeing it difficult for young people to take their stand for Jesus Christ without fear of threat and intimidation. Can you imagine what the commercial capital of the world will be like when Antichrist is in control? Can you imagine what it's going to be like? Her persecution of believers. You see the desolation. You see the separation that's called for. You see the condemnation. You see the lamentation. You see the jubilation. Indeed, if we were to go into chapter 19, you'll see that you have the Hallelujah chorus, because heaven's rejoicing at the demise of Babylon, both religious and commercial Babylon. I just want to finish with one word from the hymn we're going to sing in a moment, and it's a lesson for me as well as everybody else. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Let's just bow in a moment's prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God, and Lord, as we read what's going to happen, Lord, it's almost unbelievable. And yet, Lord, we have seen foreshadowings of it. We have seen financial institutions collapse. We have seen banks go bust. We have seen things happen in our lifetime that would have seemed nearly impossible. And yet, Lord, we've had these things in our day and age. And Lord, we believe in a day to come there's going to be this great financial crisis. But Lord, we thank you tonight that we're saved. We thank you tonight that our God's still in the throne. We thank you tonight that the church is still here. And God's people are still, with the help of the Holy Spirit, restraining the evil that's in the world. Lord, help us to shine brighter. Help us, Lord, to take our stand for Christ. And Lord, we do thank you for our families. And we pray, Lord, that we will put all into our families to make them men and women of God. So, Lord, we thank you for our study this evening. We pray, Lord, that it will be of a benefit to all who have listened, and may it encourage the people of God to know that our God's on the throne and he will remember his own. For it's in our Saviour's precious name we pray.